Hey guys,
Matt.
it's me, Bleets. I'd like to bring you guys another installment in my series of Unlocking Your Creative Potential. This one is on being original. Now, it's kind of a big topic, and you hear a lot of people talk about whether you're being original or whether you're being derivative or if you're, you know, fake or authentic. There's all these words, you know, being a sellout, being a starving artist. Like, there's, you know, it's a really big topic. And you hear quotes by people like Picasso, things like that, who talk about, you know, good artists copy and great artists steal. And there's a lot of this focus on taking things from other people or deriving your work from other people's work, being derivative. Remixing, all these things, they have a kind of a stigma about them. And what a lot of people don't look at is like the positive angle of being original and how you be original. And a lot of people say to be original, you have to look inside yourself, isolate yourself from the world around you, dig into your soul and drag up something that no one else could drag up. You're completely unique. No one has ever come before like you. And it's your duty as an artist to, like, be that unique light. And that's not 100% wrong, but the idea of to be a good artist, you must steal is also not entirely wrong. So let me, like, parse these two things and make them make sense. So copying and stealing, like Picasso was talking about, I don't exactly agree with the term stealing, because to steal something is to take something away from someone else, to take it as your own, to make it your property. So a work exists, you copy it, and then you say it's yours, and you've somehow taken it away from the original artist? No. If the thing you make is so close to the original that anyone can tell, you won't get the credit for it, right? But regardless, it doesn't matter because that whole bullshit is about money. The idea of theft and stealing from other people has everything to do with a corporation. So let's look at like Walt Disney, for example. Now, Walt Disney, almost all of his movies, like Snow White and, you know, Sleeping Beauty and a lot of his like classic early movies were taken from, you know, the Grimm's fairy tales and from other kind of like traditional fairy tales. But, you know, the Grimm's brothers, like they compiled all these stories that were just told in oral tradition and wrote it down in a narrative form. So like they were authors in their own right. But the work that they started with was derivative from these folk tales. Disney was being derivative of the Brothers Grimm and was remixing it in his own way. Now, after Walt Disney dies, the Disney Corporation becomes a corporate entity, and it has this asset that is Walt Disney's work. You know, all of his movies and all of his short films and all of his art is the property of this company that's trying to make money. Now, if you closely imitate the work of this corporation and people start buying your, let's say you make a movie called Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and it's an animated feature about a young girl who meets a bunch of little weird old people and they take her under their wing and they all live in a weird house together, which is kind of a strange premise to begin with. But the Disney Corporation goes, hey, wait, we have a movie that has the exact same title and people are going to watch your movie and they're not going to watch our movie. And so we're going to sue you to try to stop you from copying and stealing our intellectual property. It's our intellectual property. This whole notion of copyright is all about uncreative people trying to make money off of creative work. Because most creative people know on some fundamental level that everything they make is a pastiche or a collage of all of the things that they like. Like T.S. Eliot has a very similar quote to Picasso about, I think it's something like, you know, all great writers steal, you know? And he talks about the difference between, like, imitation and, like, theft, you know? David Bowie also said that he's, I can't remember what his quote was, but it was something about, like, you know, he's not original, he's a tasteful thief, or something like that. Because, you know, he is a very unique and original voice, but even to him, he knew what his influences were. He knew all of the artists that he looked up to and he borrowed from. Now, like, when you think about this process of creation, where you're absorbing writing and art and music and creative things that are around you, and you're building up this library inside of yourself, you're like a curator of a museum. Some things are good and deserve a place on a pedestal in your museum, and some things you ignore and you go, I don't like that. That doesn't have any place in my museum. You're curating a collection of things that you like. And then the body of work is sort of built out of this soil. The things that you make are you sort of drawing from all of these influences. Now, this is gonna get a little like biological or abstract. I'm gonna like take a few steps back, but your parents, right? Your parents are two different things that come together to make you. In a sense, you're derivative of your parents, but we don't say that you copied your parents' DNA or you're stealing their genetic structure, because you know your eyes are like your mom's and your nose is like your dad's, and you know you've stolen their identity. You know, it's not like identity theft or something like that, like you're gonna go to jail for being the byproduct of these two things coming together. This is the way all biology works, and the creative process is a biological process. It's the process of biological entities' minds. The way your mind works is similar to the way your body works, because it's a byproduct of your body, you know? So this concept of 1 + 1 = 3, you know? Like, your parents come together, 1 + 1 = them and you. So you didn't steal anything from them. They're still them. They still have all of their identity and everything, and you have your own new separate identity made from this soil. It's funny when people talk about stealing and copying. When you look at the sweep of human history and you see how one idea leads to the next, and one philosophical framework, you know, gives rise to other thinkers that think a little bit deeper, you know? I mean, the entire concept of science is built on making hypotheses about nature, doing tests, and using the data of other scientists who have done tests before you and have been going down a path of thinking, and you're following that path of thinking. The creative process is exactly the same thing. So you are continuing a thought process that somebody else had, and you're taking that ball and you're running with it a little bit further down the field. Now, it is possible to be a fake, an imitator, a not a true artist, right? We all know this. We all see people who like try to take other people's accomplishments or do these things. It's a real phenomenon. I don't want to ignore that. So let me talk about what that is. If you are a fake or an imitation, and this goes back to Picasso's concept of great artists steal and good artists copy, right? So if you're a copy, what you're doing is you're imitating the person. You're not imitating the work. So you're going, this person did XYZ, and if I just do XYZ in the same way, then the outcome of what I make will be as successful as what they did, because they're doing XYZ, I'm doing XYZ. I saw this happen constantly when I worked as a concept artist at a video game company. Also when I worked in the toy industry, I saw this happen. You see it a lot in corporations. Uncreative people who go, well, this other company they did this with the game. They made, you know, an RTS game that had aliens in it, and you know, we're going to make an RTS game with aliens in it, and it'll be as successful. We'll release it on the same platforms they did, and we'll target the same demographics that they did. We'll have the control scheme set up kind of in the same way. We'll change the art just enough so that we can't get sued. That is theft, right? And corporations do it. So corporations are the ones that accuse you of copyright, of stealing work, and they're also the ones that are stealing the work. Because ultimately, they're not creative, right? It's not a creative process. And so if you're imitating or you're copying somebody else, you're copying what they're doing. You're not inspired by the work. Now, in order to be inspired by the work and create something that is original, something that's truly new, you have to open yourself up to the world. You have to say, I love this, I love that, I love these things, and I'm putting them together and I'm synthesizing them and I'm putting them out there for you. When you encounter people who have a very negative opinion of things, like, oh, I hate that, and I hate this, I don't like that, and they're very critical of all things, and they don't take a stand for this is what I love, that's because taking a stand requires bravery. And it's a risk to say that you love something. It's not a risk to tear something down. It's also not a risk to imitate or follow what somebody else is doing if they're walking bravely into the future. It's not brave to stand behind them. Corporations, the reason that they're risk averse, the reason that they're not brave, is because they have a lot of money at stake. And they have people that rely on them to make money. And if they make a mistake, then all these people have to lose their jobs. And it's a big risk. Now, individuals in the indie market, you know, like, you don't have that problem. You're you, and you're an artist. Like, you don't, if you can take money out of the table, then there's no more risk. The only risk is really, like, are people going to make fun of you? But people are always going to make fun of you. So, like, that's stupid. There's nothing to be afraid of. So once you eliminate the concept of intellectual property or art as a product to be sold, there's no longer any fear about being original or being a fake. The thing that matters is, what do you have to say? What do you like? You know, everything you imitate, everything you copy, everything you put in your museum that you're curating is a statement about what you like. Now, the strange alchemy that happens in a person when they've taken all these different influences and they begin to do work. Work plus influence equals art in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? So if you want to be original, you must do work. That's it. That is it. Art is about work. If you want to talk about the muses, or you want to talk about inspiration striking, all of these things, this is just love plus work, you know? I mean, the muses and inspiration comes when you work. It doesn't come the other way around. That's why so many people who are amateurs or people who are not professional, they often sit and wait for inspiration to come, and it, like, doesn't come, you know? And then they start doing a little bit of work once in a while. They have a little bit of free time on a weekend, and they start knitting project, or they start to sketch in their sketchbook, or they pick up that guitar that's been sitting in the corner for months, and they start kind of noodling around. And then the inspiration strikes, you know, because they've started to do the work. The other way is they see someone else doing something amazing and it inspires them. They go, wow, I want to do that. I want to be like that person. I want to make stuff like that person made. And that inspires them to do the work. So the fuel that you need is work and influence, work and inspiration from other people. So, like, I mean, if you're working in a complete vacuum, if you're not exposed to people at all, like, there's, you're not getting any influence from anybody else, you have a lot of work ahead of you. It's not to say that's a bad thing. I mean, you can do it, and you can make art in a vacuum. Someone did. The first person to pick up a piece of charcoal from a campfire and draw a buffalo on a stone wall, you know, on some level, they were, like, doing the work, the creative work, on their own. Though, to be honest, I believe in the human, those actions of creation are derived from necessity on some level. So you start with, by making tools, and then those tools become like intellectual frameworks for ideas, which is what creative stuff is. It's like a story tool, a tool to get your inner life out so other people can see it. Now, that is the blacksmith at work. That is the tailor sewing the thing. You digging into sort of what you need to say and what your life is about and getting that out there, that is the work. Now, the form that work takes, that is usually shaped by your artistic genetic code, as it were, your parents, your artistic parents, which are all of these people that you love, all these people that influence you, you know? You can look back at your heritage and say, like, well, I draw boots the way that this guy draws boots, and I draw eyes the way that this guy and this guy put together draw boots, you know? And I write dialogue based on, like, the works of this poet or this playwright or whatever, you know, like you can look at all of your work and break it down and find the through line in history. And then you can look at them and see what inspired them and back and back and back and back and back. You can keep going. Like, I mean, when I was a kid, I was really into horror. I loved Stephen King. And from Stephen King, I started finding links to H.P. Lovecraft. And then from H.P. Lovecraft, I started finding links to like Robert W. Chambers. And like, you keep following the through line, you can find this genealogy. It's like a lineage, you know? And so the idea that you have this parentage that you can identify doesn't mean that you are stealing from them in any way. The only way that you can be a thief, you can't really be a thief, but the only way you can be a derivative copy is if you're looking at what somebody else is doing and you're trying to follow their actions, you know? This person gets up in the morning and they start work at 7 in the morning and they work until 3 in the afternoon and they use this kind of marker and they use this kind of word processor and they do this and they do that, and I'm going to follow their ritual and I'm going to do things the same way they did and it's going to somehow be as magical. You see this all the time with Shakespeare. My mother is a director of theater, and like, I've seen a lot of theater in my life. And Shakespeare, you see a lot of people remixing Shakespeare, which is like the creative way to use Shakespeare, to be inspired by it. But I've seen so many writers who write plays based on Shakespeare, but they like, I'm going to sub out all the names in Romeo and Juliet, you know, with different names. I'm going to change the location to like some other, you know, similar location, but kind of the same thing. And I'm going to just sub out all the parts. And if you do that creatively enough, it can be, you know, a wonderful and interesting remix. I think the pitfall is if, like, if you're trying to do it the same way that he did it, you know, I'm going to use Elizabethan garb, I'm going to recreate a stage that's just like the Globe Theater, you know, I'm going to do everything that Shakespeare did in his life. People would be like, as a historical thing, okay, interesting, but if you're trying to claim it as your own, this is my first original idea. No one's ever done this before. I've made a theater that's out of wood, and I'm doing a play about star-crossed lovers who come from the Capuloche and the Montagunets. You know, like, you just change it just a little bit, but you keep it basically the same, and then you say that you made it. It's not like you're hurting anybody but yourself, because what you're doing is you're not opening yourself up. You're so enraptured by the life story of an artist that you're not seeing the work and what the work has to say. Now, that is the core of originality and how to steal versus like being an imitation. You never want to imitate the artist. The artist is irrelevant. Their work is the only thing that matters. So there are a lot of terrible artists, like, and writers, like awful people. Hitler was an artist, but you can still look at Hitler's paintings and go like, okay, I can see what he's, I mean, Hitler is not a very good artist, so like, it's probably not a good example. Wagner, right? The guy who wrote the Ring cycle, and he's a composer. You know, the Ring is like the basis of like Lord of the Rings. J.R.R. Tolkien took a lot of his influence from that. Like, most modern fantasies draw their sort of, and he was, Wagner was not a nice guy. He was very anti-Semitic and, you know, racist and not a great guy. H.P. Lovecraft. Everybody loves H.P. Lovecraft, but the man is a pained sort of, you know, broken, paranoid person. Not someone to be admired, you know? I mean, you know, even in modern contexts, people like Bill Cosby, right? Do not imitate Bill Cosby's lifestyle and think that you're going to make, and that the art that you're going to make is somehow going to be great. Like, but the Cosby Show or his like work is separate from him as a person and can be admired and can be put into your museum collection and curated along with everything else. The work itself is pure, you know? The work itself is if it's good art, then it's coming from someone's experiences, you know? And you don't have to admire the person to admire the work. And that is the core of the thing. Don't be a fan of a personality, you know? Be an admirer of a body of work. And then do the work to make your own stuff. So, I mean, great writers, great artists are great admirers and great readers, you know? So fill your head with all of the fuel you possibly can. Don't be enraptured by any one person. Have little brief love affairs with this artist or that writer or this thing and that thing. Get into it, you know? Like, really, like, follow their career. Look at all, that's fine. But move on, you know? And basically, when I approach any kind of media, whether it's an anime or a TV show or a painting in a museum or a sculpture or whatever, like, there's too much out there to take in all of it. When I look at a new thing that I'm going to watch on TV or whatever, I approach it and I say, does this relate to what I'm doing artistically? Does it have a through line? Does it connect in any way? Is there anything I can steal here? Basically, is there anything here that's worth anything to me? Does it potentially have a shot in my collection? Am I going to give this thing a chance to fit into my museum? If no, then I don't watch it. I don't even give it a shot because it's not even in the same realm as what I'm doing. If yes, then I enjoy it, I take it in, and I move on to the next thing. Now, it's good to get a broad spectrum. I'm not saying to be super myopic, but really, if something doesn't interest you, don't study it, you know? Because the more specific you get, the more tightly focused you are on an area, the more punchy and powerful your work is gonna be, you know? Oftentimes, I found myself lost and diffused in my creative thinking when I can't decide who I want to be, what I want to do. I could do charcoal, or I could do watercolor, or I could do oil painting, or I could do Photoshop, or I could do, you know, Sai, or I could maybe do animation, or I could maybe do this, or I could do that. Like, I don't know. And I love this artist. I want to be just like Frank Rosetta, or I want to be just like, Miles, or I want to be just like this person or that person. And like, you know, I don't know which person to choose. I don't know which person to choose. Who am I going to be? Don't be anybody but yourself. That is when it all opens up. That's when it becomes easy. The work starts to flow. The inspiration starts to come. You're just you. You're where you are. There's always going to be better people. There's always going to be amazing art that you're going to just go, how can I ever make something as good as that? How am I ever going to make a script as tight as that script? You know, you are you. And you're going to make the work. And the work will have value if you do more of it. The more work you do, the more influence you cobble together, you can't not make something great, you know? But it's going to take thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of hours of time. And that may seem daunting to you. It may seem like that is so much work to do, you know? But the trick is, it's your interest. It's your love, you know? It's not a sacrifice if it's your passion, you know? So that's a good weather vane, you know? If it seems interesting and fun, do it, you know? Path of least resistance is crucial. That is your weather vane in a lot of ways, you know? What is the easy thing for you to make? You know, another good question to ask yourself is when you start to think of a project, like I have a story I want to tell with these characters. Is it going to be a game? Is it going to be a comic book? Is it going to be a movie? Is it going to be, an MMO video game? Is it going to be like a series of novels? Is it going to be, like grand architecture, like a cathedral, you know? Ask yourself this one question. What would it look like if it was easy? What would this project look like if it was easy? And that will tell you the direction that you need to go. Because really, it's about self-expression and about getting that expression out there in a more effective way. And if it's easy to do, then you'll get better and better and better and better at it. It means you've already done work in that arena, which means you've already gone that way a little bit. You know, so keep going. Because we can always stop and change direction. You know, we can always say, I'm going to become a sports star. I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to be, an architect or whatever. Like, you can change direction at any time. But constant vacillation like that is going to slow you down. It's going to make it so that you can communicate in a lot of languages, but not very well at any of them, you know? So you're never going to excel beyond other people unless you focus on the things that are easy for you to do. So that's what I think you need to do in order to be original is to do the things that come naturally to you. Ignore what other artists do. Don't say, well, this artist does it this way, so I got to do it that way. No. You have to do the easy way for you. That's how you'll find it. And that's how you'll surpass those other artists or those other writers. That's how you'll get, to a higher level, is you do you. How many times do people say that? But it's true. You do you, you know? Be yourself. That's how you be original. Do easy things based on things that you love. And that's a simple truth of it, you know? So don't get caught up on stealing. Don't get caught up on theft. You know, just ignore what other people do and just look at things that you love, you know? There's nothing more demoralizing than looking at an amazing painting and then you realize that the artist who did it is like 16 and, has a huge body of work and they're better than you and you're like older than them and you suck. Like, it only hurts when you look at the artist. It only hurts when you look at like the person behind it, you know? Never compare yourself to another person because they're them and you're you. So if you want to be original, steal their work. Steal as many pieces of work as you can. Curate your museum, you know, fill it up with all the things you love, and then do the work that you find easy. Because you got a lot of work ahead of you. You got a lot of ditches to dig. So find the method of ditch digging that is the easy and the fun way for you to do it. I hope this was interesting or informative at least. Every time I do one of these, it helps me sort of understand my own process and get a little bit further. So, I appreciate the opportunity for you guys to be an audience, listen to me kind of rant about this stuff. If you have any questions or you want to ask any specific questions or you have topics that you want me to cover in this podcast series, head over to my Patreon, drop me a line there. I look forward to bringing you the next one. This has been